As we continue to follow Jesus through this last year of his ministry, we are finding ourselves in the book of John, chapter 15. Have you ever thought that some appliance or power tool was broken, that it was going to need to be thrown out or replaced or even repaired? It wasn't working like it was supposed to. It wouldn't turn on. That saw, when you press the trigger, it wouldn't move. It wouldn't come to life. Well, if you're anything like me, you've experienced this before. You think that old tool finally died, only to find out that the death certificate might be a bit premature because the power tool or the appliance in question just got unplugged. I have discovered personally that vacuums work better plugged in, and so do toasters and TVs and so many other things that can sometimes become unplugged when we don't expect it. But sometimes when they do, it's actually a wonderful lesson for us that those items require power and that they work better when they're plugged in. Because we've discovered that some things don't work when they're not plugged in. And believe it or not, that's a spiritual lesson and principle that Jesus is about to share with his disciples and us as they move from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane today in John chapter 15. So let's jump right into our text and see what Jesus is about to talk to them about. In John chapter 15, in verse number 1, we read, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener, and he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit, so they will produce even more." Now remember, at this time, they didn't have power tools. They didn't have electrical outlets or you could plug in anything to have all the power that you need. So Jesus couldn't use that actual function for them. But he wanted to make this truth come alive in their hearts and their lives. So he used another analogy that has an actual long history with the children of Israel. Jesus starts by saying that I am the true grapevine. And again, this has specific meaning and purpose. And those at that time who heard this knew exactly what was being talked about because the vine was a symbol of Israel in the Old Testament. Passages like the 80th Psalm and Isaiah 5 show us the concept that Israel was the vine and that God took care of the vine and where it was planted. That God took this vine from Egypt and he put it in the promised land. And there in the promised land, this vine began to blossom and grow and its branches began to extend. But the problem was is that with every one of these analogies, whether it was Psalm 80 or Isaiah 5, all of these accounts, it wasn't always seen as something good. The references always ended up with the vine, ended up sounding like Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 21. "But I was the one who planted you, choosing a vine of the purest stock, the very best. How did you grow into this corrupt, wild vine?" The concept of this corrupt vine in Jeremiah 2 are the growing bitter grapes in Isaiah 5, or even that they were going to be chopped up and burned in the 80th Psalm. But by this, Jesus was showing that this was the analogy he was using. Israel is the vine, and it was well known that this vine didn't necessarily grow in the right way. And that was the reference that Jesus was about to change. You see, by calling himself the true vine, Jesus is saying that he is the way to fix what had been lacking. That all of their efforts to try to grow fruit was lacking. But if they now would find themselves attached to him, that everything for them would be different. But before we can unpack all of that, Jesus adds another layer for us to this picture. And he says that my Father is the gardener. So both God the Son and God the Father are actively involved in this plan, in this process. And just like it was referenced in the Old Testament, Jesus tells us that God the Father is the one who plants and tends the vine. So he's not only the one that moves them to the promised land, but he's the one that actually helps them grow, that sustains them, that's helping them become who they're supposed to be. And as the great gardener, he's also the one who is a master of what he does. He takes care of the vine. Nothing's going to happen to the vine that's beyond his control. He's going to provide the vine with everything that it needs so that it can grow. But there are two more images of Jesus that Jesus gives us about what the Father does that we also have to make reference of. First is that he cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit. that he knows the vine so well that if there is a branch that is withered or diseased, that's not doing what it's supposed to, that he's going to get rid of it. But Jesus wasn't done. He also said something. He says that he prunes the branches that bear fruit, that he will cut back, not cut off, the branches that have already produced fruit, that God was going to do things that was going to help them continue to grow and produce more fruit. And just so that we're all on the same page this morning, we are the branches, and one of two things are going to happen to us. In this analogy, what Jesus is showing is that we're the branches. You and I, that's us. And we have to remain attached to the vine. And one of two things are going to happen to us. If we bear fruit, we will be pruned. Now, I don't think I'm the only one who's ever pruned a plant, right? I think I'm pretty safe. Most of us have probably done that at some time. But as a kid growing up, I used to help my mom take care of the flowers around the house. Not that I necessarily wanted to help take care of the flowers, but I had to help take care of the flowers. And as a kid, it was really hard for me to grasp that I couldn't just walk over to the flower bed and yank out a flower and take it to my mom. I got in trouble for that. But if I was working with her, I could go up to those heads, and if it looked dead, I could rip it off. And I have to be honest, as a kid, it seemed rather brutal to me. And the way my mind works, I did my best impersonation of the Queen of Hearts. Off with their heads! You know, it did happen. It did. My mom can assure you that it did. But as a kid, I didn't understand that what that was doing was really making room for more flowers to grow, and that it was actually good for the plant. But even with this rudimentary understanding of pruning and knowing what it does for the plant, it's something else totally when we think that God does that to us. That's a whole other ballgame. It's great that you can go up to the plant and off with their head, but it's another thing when we think God is going to look at us in love and care and prune us. But I want you to understand this morning that in pruning us, God will do things that's going to help us grow. God's goal is for us to become what we are supposed to be. And if we start to bear fruit, he's going to do things in our lives to help us bear more fruit. He doesn't want you to be one and done. He wants you to keep going and growing and being more fruitful. And those things that help us grow might be painful and hard to experience. It never looked like it was pleasant for the plant, right? Never looked that way at all. But sometimes to prune a plant, you don't just trim a small piece here and a small piece there. We would love it if God looks at us and would just prune a small piece here and a small piece there. But sometimes to actually get the plant to grow, you have to cut it way back. Way back. To the point you wonder, is that even going to help it? Is it going to come back? We have plants over at the house that every year we have to cut short. Lawnmower short. Thank you. You got that. Thank you. But every year after we do that, they come back bigger and stronger and more of them than ever before. They're even starting to grow over there now. I love it. But pruning sometimes does make all the difference. And sometimes God, in his knowledge and in his perfect will look at us and see some things that are going on in our lives that need to be cut back, not cut off, that need to be removed to make more room for you to grow and bear more fruit spiritually. But we also have to understand something else, because we are the branches. And again, one of two things are going to happen to us, and that if we do not bear fruit, we will be cut off. And yes, again, there's a big difference between being cut back and cut off. If we're not doing anything to bear fruit or to show the world Jesus and his love in our lives, then we are going to face a problem. God will see what we were doing and have no choice but to protect the vine. Just like removing a diseased part of a plant will help save that plant's life. But let's take it away from the plant for a minute, right? Look at what we do in our own bodies. If cancer is growing inside of anyone, what do we do? Do we let it just keep going and multiplying and replicating in other parts of our bodies, or do we fight like crazy to remove it? whether it can be done by surgery or chemo or any of those other options, don't we try to remove it? If something that can kill us is inside of us, don't we try to get it out of us? And that is the process of what happens for us. You see, if we're not seeing any spiritual fruit in our lives, we can't just think that everything is going to be okay. We have to have evidence of God doing things and moving in our hearts and our lives. There has to be some fruit there for us to see. If Jesus would come and look at our lives this morning, would he see any fruit on us? Would there be any evidence that we actually are living and believing and living out his word for the world to know and understand? That we're being obedient to do everything that Jesus told us? Is there any evidence of greater things happening in our lives? And we have to understand that God will be doing this to us because, not because he's evil or mean. If we refuse to obey, God has no choice but to take this step. And this will happen because we've chosen to live how we've wanted to live and not how God has desired us to. So understand this morning, because God loves the vine, if there is a branch that can infect or hurt the rest of the vine, it's going to be removed. And if he loves you and you've bared fruit, you've done something good, spiritually something has happened in your life, don't be surprised that God prunes us so that we can grow more. Neither one of those things sound great. I'll admit it. Pastor, this is so encouraging this morning. Thank you. I get it. I understand. But this is the truth that we have to wrestle with today. But Jesus tells us one more thing. Listen to how he adds to this in verse number 3. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. And those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So the truth about who Jesus is and believing in his message is what allows us to have the ability to be purified and also pruned. Accepting his love and his grace, accepting his message, that's the start of our faith. That's the start of God working in our lives. But this isn't a one-and-done event. It's not once saved, always saved. That's why Jesus said that the branches could be cut off. As a matter of fact, Jesus gives us something specific that he tells us that we have to grasp this morning. Jesus says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." And this is where we started this morning. Again, there's no power tools and no power outlets of the Bible. They had to have this analogy to grasp and understand what was going on and happening. But for us to have forgiveness and eternity in paradise, the peace and presence of God, now we too have to be plugged into the power source. Understand that a branch by itself will die. It has to be connected to the vine or the tree to grow. It has to be connected to the vine to receive all of the nourishment it needs. It has to be connected to the vine to grow anything, because no branch has no power or ability on its own. It requires the vine for life. The branch, or what's implied we as believers, must remain attached to Jesus. But because of our technology, this is kind of hard for us to understand. Because of our technology and the things that we have, it's really kind of hard for us to grasp this. You know, anyone here remember when phones were actually attached to the wall? Kids are going, "They did that?" Yeah. Growing up in my house, between the kitchen and the dining room, we had our phone. That's where it was. And my mom got stuck one time because it only came with that little cord, and somebody called and there was dinner on the stove and it didn't end so well. So my mom got a nice long cord so that if somebody called and she was on the phone, she could go from the wall by where the phone was all the way over to anywhere in the kitchen that she needed to be. And sometimes it was like choreography, because some of you who are old enough to know what those long cords did, you would be here and you'd have to be talking here and she'd be moving it around trying to get here to there. And sometimes in the process of moving something from here to there, that cord would take something that was on the counter and throw it off. Yeah. It was not ideal, but it functioned. And then we had cordless phones. They allowed you to move a little bit more. But those early phones, man, they were like lifting bricks because those batteries were so heavy. And if you talked for longer than 25 minutes, you were in trouble because that phone was about to die. And that was okay because it was so heavy that after it died, you could just sit there and finish your workout. It was all right. But they improved it because my mom could now make it to the living room if she needed to. But now, we have cell phones. No cord, right? My wife can start talking in Ohio to her mom, and a couple states later, still be talking to her mom. And I'm not saying that's happened before or not, but it's been longer than 25 minutes, so I'll just put it that way. And we're not bound by a cord. We're not bound by being close to a receiver. We can travel from state to state. Well, almost. Good luck trying to talk in West Virginia, I'm just saying. But other than West Virginia, you could go pretty much anywhere else and talk on your cell phone and be fine. You could go all day without the battery needing charged. And we pretty much have batteries for everything anymore. Power tools with batteries, even cars with batteries that can run for a couple hours before I have to plug them in for 8 hours to recharge. But all of these things have allowed us to cut the cord and left us struggling to understand what it really means to remain. Because we can recharge our cell phones, we think that we can do the same thing spiritually. I'm going to come to church on Sunday, and I'm going to get plugged in, and my battery's going to get full, and it's going to be great, bless God. I'm going to just leave feeling full, and then I'm going to go out all week, and I think it's going to be great, and I think I have my charges enough that I can make it to next Sunday. But then life happens, and the battery goes down. And then sometimes life happens, and we don't make it to church the next Sunday. And the next thing we know, our battery's dead. So dead that when you plug it in the wall, it still has to be plugged in for a little bit before it turns on, understand? We've all been there. But that's the problem if we have the wrong concept of how we are filled with power from God. We can't have this understanding and idea that we just spiritually need to be recharged. Spiritually, we have to understand this idea of just being charged or recharged is not what Jesus is saying when he tells us that we have to remain in him. The concept is of the power cord being plugged into the outlet that will provide us with all the power that we need to do whatever job is possible. But Pastor, there's a problem. The cord only goes so far. And you're right. And sometimes because of all of our technology, we miss that point too. Because sometimes boundaries are good. When you're at the zoo and the tiger is hungry and walking back and forth in his cage real quick, it's actually a really good thing that there's a boundary between him and you. Sometimes we can be very thankful for those boundaries. They keep you safe and they can keep what hurts you away from you. But let me put it this way, since we've been talking about vines and branches and trees, right? Have you ever seen a tree branch walking around? I'm so tired of looking at my backyard off the tree. I want to go see what the front yard looks like. That doesn't happen. We don't have mobile branches. We don't have mobile trees. We've seen all of these things and never have seen that happen. And it never will, because for the branch to live, it has to remain in the tree. The roots of the tree grow deep and the nourishment from the soil comes up and it gives the branches life. And we have to understand that we are the same. We have to actually remain to the vine, to Jesus. And that means we can't vine hop. This is where I'm feeling so good here, but that looks really interesting. I'm going to hop over there for a little bit and see if I can get plugged in there and see what happens. And I'm not talking about churches. I'm talking about other things that our hearts go after. Because sometimes we can get misled, which is why Jesus tells us that you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. You will not grow in your faith. You will not see greater things if we have the wrong idea of how we live our lives. If we think we just get charged up instead of have to remain plugged in. If we think that we can just be okay and it'll be all right. That's not the case. Jesus can't just be a part of our life. He has to be our life. We can't just fit him in wherever we think that we can. We have to be attached to him. He has to be something more than just a filler space for a part of our life, for a couple hours on Sunday, or for anything else. And because of that, we have to understand that the only way we will produce fruit is to be attached to the vine. The only way that we're going to grow spiritually, the only way that we're going to actually become who God has created us to be, is to remain attached to him. There is no life for us branches away from him. We will only find ourselves in hell. Yes, the front yard could look great and attractive to a backyard tree, but the problem is there's no life there for it. Because life only comes when we remain attached to Jesus. That's why he tells his disciples and us that apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's why we have to remain. We cannot make it on our own to heaven. Don't try. You will never get there. You're never going to get there. And if you just try to recharge here and recharge there, you're never going to get there. But if you choose to be engrafted into the vine, if you choose to allow the great gardener to take your branch, your life, and put it on his, then you will receive his love, his grace, his mercy, his help, his love, protection, guidance. All of the gifts are yours. But we have to choose to be plugged in and accept the limits of the cord, or the branch, if you will. But so many times, but I want to do this, and I want to do that. I want to. Heaven or hell, pruned or cut off, one of those two things will happen to us. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. Amen. Which is why Jesus gives us verse number 6. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers, and such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. So anyone who doesn't remain is thrown away and burned. I took advantage of the nice weather this week. And I went outside and went through my yard, gathering all of the dead branches that came down through winter and the windstorms and everything else. My yard was full of them. There was a lot. A bunch of dead branches that were so dead that you could pick them up and just break them easy. There was no life there. There was nothing. Because the dead branches that were cut away from the tree had no life there. But we have something different than the trees. We have a choice. God created us with something that we call a free will. We choose whether or not we accept or reject God. We choose this morning whether we remain in him or we don't. We choose whether we think we have to be plugged in or just get recharged. And there's a danger that comes when we just think we have to be recharged. Because if we're just recharging and not plugged in, the power is not coming through. And if the power is not coming through, we're never going to grow fruit. And if there's no fruit there, we risk a problem. You see, we can see what choices we've made by seeing how much fruit we really have. Again, it's really easy for us to look and see. is there any fruit? Our place in Florida is amongst an orange grove. We're surrounded on three sides by orange grove. And believe me, it's really easy to tell if there are fruit growing on those trees. Because they're either green and there's nothing there, or you can go and there's various shades of yellow and orange all over those trees. It's very easy to look and see if there's fruit. And spiritually, we are the same way. We can look at our lives and see if we're growing. We can look at our lives and see what's happening and taking place. And we can make a choice. Your choice, my choice. Whether we do what we want or we do and live how God wants. Remember, though, the warning. Branches that do not produce fruit are cut off and thrown into the fire. So we have to make sure that we're not just attached enough to feel like we're safe. Oh, come on, that was good. There should have been an amen on that one. Thank you. Even though I asked for it, I'll take it. We can't be just attached enough to think that we're safe. We have to be attached enough to see growth, to see fruit, to see the work of Jesus being done, to see greater things. To see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. We've got to see these things in our lives and attached enough to see them. We have to learn what it means to remain. Listen to what it says in verse 7. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciple, and that brings great glory to the Father. So when we produce much fruit, you are my true disciple. Did you see the word true there? That means that there is proof to what we say. It's not just saying I believe in Jesus. It's not just saying I am a Christian. If you have that fruit, you have the proof that you are attached to the vine, that his power is in you, and that you're doing what you are called to do. And Jesus told us that if we believe, we will do greater things. That if we believe and we're attached to the vine, there is going to be some fruit in our lives, that we are going to be doing and living what Jesus did. We will be proclaiming to the lost his love. We will be healing those who need healing. We will be living out his word in this world. But there's some more, right? Jesus also told us if we are obedient, we will remain attached to the vine. It's our obedience of what he expects, us living and doing what he wants. That's how we stay there. And if we refuse to be obedient, that's when we won't be pruned back, but cut off. And again, it's our choice. But here's the wonderful part this morning. If we stay attached to the vine, we will produce fruit. God wants to use you. Let me say that again. God wants to use you to do something. He wants to use you to touch someone's heart and life. He wants to use you to touch someone at work. He wants to use you to help someone in your neighborhood. He wants to use you to bless someone in your family. He wants to use you. And if you stay in the vine, it doesn't matter if so-and-so does. This is about you. You can't live off of somebody else's fruit. God wants to have you be the one bearing fruit. And God wants to use you. And if you stay attached to the vine, you are going to produce fruit. But then we have to understand something else. Ready? If we produce fruit, God will prune us so that we produce more fruit. And I'm sorry. Because at first it's like, oh, it's great. I'm producing fruit. That's wonderful. Well, guess what? If we produce the fruit, God's going to look at it and smile and be happy and prune you. Can a loving God do that? Yes. Because you might not notice that there's a bunch of things that are around your life that are choking and preventing you from growing more fruit. And he's got to get rid of them. Now you've got more room for this to grow in your life. You might have just produced one fruit, but God knows that you can do more. There's a bushel waiting for you filled with the fruit of what you're going to do. And so he has to prune us to make some more room. Don't be afraid of God pruning you. He's actually a very good God and very loving and very tender. And if we trust him, you're going to find that this pruning isn't really something to be afraid of. We've got the off with your head idea of pruning, but actually, God is a little more gracious and loving than that. He loves us to the point where he gently and tenderly will help us. He knows sometimes that our faith wouldn't let him go all the way to where he needs to the first time, so he might do it in steps. Because he's loving and good. But we can't fight his pruning. We can't tell the great gardener, too much! Can't do it! We've got to learn to submit to his will. We've got to learn that there are things that he knows best that we don't. And that's kind of hard, isn't it? Because we look at our lives and we think we know what the best is. This is how it should go. This is what should happen. And God says, no, I'm going to prune you here. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Are you sure? This? Got to get rid of this? Because this will help you grow. And we've got to be okay with saying, yes, Lord, I'll give that to you. Yes, Lord, you can have this. And this morning, are you producing any fruit? If Jesus were to look at your life, could you pull out the fruit of your life and say, see? Or would there be nothing there? This morning, each and every one of us have to decide what's going on. We have to decide whether we're remaining in him, we're plugged in, or if we have the recharge mentality. I'm just going to get enough to think I get by. Not enough to grow fruit, but enough to make me feel okay about myself. Or if we're going to be plugged in. If we're growing fruit. And if we're okay with God saying, I need to do this in you. I need to cut a little off here for you to be who you need to be. And for us to say, yes, Lord, I will. This morning, he just wants us to be attached. Because just like the vacuum cleaner at my house, it doesn't work unless it's plugged in. The dog could have ran by and knocked it off of the out of the plug, and I didn't know it. I'm turning it on going, did it just burn up? No, it's not plugged in. Are we plugged in? Are we cordless? Are we fruitful or are we not? Are we afraid of God pruning us? I don't want to grow too much, Lord, because look at what you'll do if I do. This morning, you have a free will and a choice. You choose whether you remain attached or if you don't. But remember, there are consequences to our choices. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word today. And we pray, Father, that you would reach down in our hearts and our lives this morning and help us see who you are. Help us to look at our lives very clearly. Spirit of God, move in this place right now and help us to see. Help us to take an honest look at who we are and how we're living right now. Because we know that you're loving and that you're gracious. We know that you care for us so much and so deeply that you are so invested in us that you want us to grow. So Father, help us to look right now and help us to see where we are with you spiritually. Are we attached or are we trying to recharge? Are we producing fruit or are we not? Are we afraid to be pruned? Are we willing to have your hand touch us? Help us to see this day where we are in you. And if we honestly look at our lives and don't see any fruit, Father, forgive us, restore us. And as only the great gardener can do, engraft us into that vine so that we can have your strength, your hope, and your power in us. Jesus, today we need you to do more. More in us than what we've ever known. Our world is so dark that we need your power doing greater things in our lives. The world needs to see our fruit so that they can know who you are. So Jesus, attach us today. Prune us today. Help us today, Father, so that we can do everything that we need to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.